Test 2. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. Directions. This section is designed to test your ability to understand spoken English. You will hear a selection of recorded materials, and you must answer the questions that accompany them. There are three parts in this section: Part A, Part B, and Part C. Remember, while you are doing the test, you should first put down your answers in your test booklet. At the end of the Listening Comprehension section, you will have 5 minutes to transfer all your answers from your test booklet to answer sheet 1. Now, look at Part A in your test booklet.
Part A. Directions. For questions 1 through 5, you will hear a conversation between two colleagues about a schedule. While you listen, fill out the table with the information you've heard. Some of the information has been given to you in the table. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below. Hi, Faith. Do you have a minute?
Sure. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to go over the schedule for Wednesday's orientation meeting to make sure everything is ready.
Okay. Here's a copy of the tentative schedule.
Okay.
Now, the registration starts at 8:30 and goes until 9:15.
All right.
Then the orientation meeting will commence at 9:30.
Okay. Now, we had planned originally for the meeting to go on until 10:30. But now we have someone from the International Center coming to speak to the students on extracurricular activities. So how about ending the meeting around 11?
Fine. And then the students will take the placement test from 11:15 until noon.
Okay.
Followed by a 20-minute break before lunch.
Okay.
And immediately after lunch, we have reserved a campus shuttle to give students a 45-minute tour starting at 1:30.
Okay.
We want to show students around the university, including the Union Building, the library, and the Student Services Building.
Oh, great. Now, how about the oral interviews?
Well, we're planning to start them at 2:15.
Teachers are going to be up to their ears in preparations, and they'll be hard-pressed to start then.
Okay. Let's get things rolling around 2:45.
Okay. And we'll need 150 copies of this program guide by then.
Okay. So the interviews will go from 2:45 until, let's say, 4:30?
Okay.
I hope we can wrap things up by 5.
Great. I think the bottom line is to keep things running smoothly throughout the day.
I agree. I'll pass the schedule by the director for a final look.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 through 5. Now you will hear the recording again. Hi, Faith. Do you have a minute?
Sure. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to go over the schedule for Wednesday's orientation meeting to make sure everything is ready.
Okay. Here's a copy of the tentative schedule.
Okay.
Now, the registration starts at 8:30 and goes until 9:15.
All right.
Then the orientation meeting will commence at 9:30.
Okay. Now, we had planned originally for the meeting to go on until 10:30. But now we have someone from the International Center coming to speak to the students on extracurricular activities. So how about ending the meeting around 11?
Fine. And then the students will take the placement test from 11:15 until noon.
Okay.
Followed by a 20-minute break before lunch.
Okay.
And immediately after lunch, we have reserved a campus shuttle to give students a 45-minute tour starting at 1:30.
Okay.
We want to show students around the university, including the Union Building, the library, and the Student Services Building.
Oh, great. Now, how about the oral interviews?
Well, we're planning to start them at 2:15.
Teachers are going to be up to their ears in preparations, and they'll be hard-pressed to start then.
Okay. Let's get things rolling around 2:45.
Okay. And we'll need 150 copies of this program guide by then.
Okay. So the interviews will go from 2:45 until, let's say, 4:30?
Okay.
I hope we can wrap things up by 5.
Great. I think the bottom line is to keep things running smoothly throughout the day.
I agree. I'll pass the schedule by the director for a final look.
You now have 20 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 through 5. That is the end of Part A. Part B. Directions. For questions 6 through 10, you'll hear a talk about B.F. Skinner, a famous psychologist. While you listen, complete the sentences or answer the questions. Use not more than 3 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the sentences in the questions below. B.F. Skinner has been described as one of the best-known figures in psychology. He published extensive autobiographic material that gives one excellent insight into his life and thinking. He was born 1904 in Pennsylvania. His father was a lawyer, in hope that his eldest son would follow his profession. He was a talented, introspective individual who was creative in a number of ways. He graduated with a BA in English Literature from Hamilton College. While at college, he disrupted campus life with numerous tricks and wrote critically of the faculty in administration for the campus paper. Carl Frost had favorably reviewed several of his short stories while he was an undergraduate, and he left Hamilton determined to be a writer. Skinner set himself up in what he envisioned to be a writer's study, first in his parents' attic and then in Greenwich Village in New York City. While in Greenwich Village, he was exposed to the works of Watson and Pavlov, both of which had an immense impact on him. After spending the summer of 1928 in Europe, he gave up all aspirations of becoming a writer and turned to psychology and the idea of the conditioning of behavior. He enrolled in the graduate program in psychology at Harvard. There he devoted himself to the life of an aesthetic academic, rising early, studying long hours, and avoiding most entertainment. He earned his MA in 1930 and his PhD in 1931, and remained at Harvard for the next 5 years as a postdoctoral fellow. Here he developed his approach as a behaviorist. In 1936, he began his teaching career at the University of Minnesota. In 1945, he moved to Indiana University as chair of the psychology department, and in 1948, he returned to Harvard, where he remained until his death in 1990. In 1938, he published The Behavior of Organisms. In 1948, he published Walden II. In 1953, he published Science in Human Behavior. In 1957, Schedules of Reinforcement. And in 1971, Beyond Freedom and Dignity. You now have 50 seconds to check your answers to questions 6 through 10. Now you will hear the recording again. B.F. Skinner has been described as one of the best-known figures in psychology. He published extensive autobiographic material that gives one excellent insight into his life and thinking. He was born in 1904 in Pennsylvania. His father was a lawyer, in hope that his eldest son would follow his profession. He was a talented, introspective individual who was creative in a number of ways. He graduated with a BA in English Literature from Hamilton College. While at college, he disrupted campus life with numerous tricks and wrote critically of the faculty in administration for the campus paper. Carl Frost had favorably reviewed several of his short stories while he was an undergraduate, and he left Hamilton determined to be a writer. Skinner set himself up in what he envisioned to be a writer's study, first in his parents' attic and then in Greenwich Village in New York City. While in Greenwich Village, he was exposed to the works of Watson and Pavlov, both of which had an immense impact on him. After spending the summer of 1928 in Europe, he gave up all aspirations of becoming a writer and turned to psychology and the idea of the conditioning of behavior. He enrolled in the graduate program in psychology at Harvard. There he devoted himself to the life of an aesthetic academic, rising early, studying long hours, and avoiding most entertainment. He earned his MA in 1930 and his PhD in 1931, and remained at Harvard for the next 5 years as a postdoctoral fellow. Here he developed his approach as a behaviorist. In 1936, he began his teaching career at the University of Minnesota. In 1945, he moved to Indiana University as chair of the psychology department, and in 1948, he returned to Harvard, where he remained until his death in 1990. In 1938, he published The Behavior of Organisms. In 1948, he published Walden II. In 1953, he published Science in Human Behavior. In 1957, Schedules of Reinforcement. And in 1971, Beyond Freedom and Dignity. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 6 through 10. That is the end of Part B.
Part C. Directions. You will hear three pieces of recorded material. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only. Questions 11 through 13 are based on an address by a professor of sociology at a conference. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 through 13. Today, I'd like to preface my remarks from a story from my own life which I feel highlights our common concerns that brings us here together. Several years ago, when my grandparents were well into their 80s, they were faced with the reality of no longer being able to adequately care for themselves. My grandfather spoke of his greatest fear, that of leaving the only home they had known for the past 60 years. Fighting back the tears, he spoke proudly of the fact that he had built their home from the ground up, and that he had pounded every nail and laid every brick in the process. The prospect of having to sell their home and give up their independence and move into a retirement home was an extremely distressing experience for them. It was, in my grandfather's own words, like having a limb cut off. He was quite emphatic, exclaiming that he felt he wasn't important anymore. For them and some older Americans, their so-called golden years are at times not so pleasant. For this period can mean the decline of not only one's health, but the loss of identity and self-worth. In many societies, this self-identity is closely related with our social status, occupation, material possessions, or independence. Furthermore, we often live in societies that value that which is new, and the word old conjures up images of the need to replace or discard. Now, many of the lectures given at this conference have focused on the issues of pension reform, medical care, and the development of public facilities for senior citizens. And while these are vital issues that must be addressed, I'd like to focus my comments on an underlying issue that will affect the overall success of the other programs mentioned. This has to do with realigning our perspectives on what it means to be a part of this group, and finding meaningful roles the elderly can and should play in our societies. You now have 30 seconds to check answers to questions 11 through 13.
Questions 14 to 16 are based on part of an early morning news broadcast. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 14 to 16. It's 7 o'clock and time for the news. Our top stories today. First, this is from the World Health Organization, or the WHO. The WHO has reported that we are facing a potential global epidemic due to untreatable cases of tuberculosis, also known as TB. TB is dangerous because it affects the lungs. The number of cases is growing worldwide, and this has researchers worried. According to a study, a third of all known TB cases are untreatable. The drugs normally used to treat TB are simply not working. Researchers are trying hard to find out why this is the case. For now, the WHO is planning an international program to educate people about the dangers of TB. And now we have a report on the artist Vincent van Gogh. Of course, you may know that van Gogh is a famous 19th century painter. You may also be familiar with one of his famous paintings, the one of flowers, to be exact. It was painted in 1888 by Van Gogh. Well, a scandal erupted in London yesterday over the authenticity of Van Gogh's sunflowers. The painting was recently bought by a large multinational company for several million dollars, And now an expert is saying that the painting is a fake. Authorities are looking into the matter. Next to Mexico, Hurricane Pauline pounded Acapulco and nearby areas last night, leaving many people homeless. The strong winds and heavy rains made for horrible conditions. Floods and landslides destroyed homes and cars, especially in the hillside areas. Rescue is particularly difficult because streets are blocked, in most cases, by mud. It's believed that some people may be trapped inside their homes and cannot get out. Most people have left their homes and are now safely in temporary shelters. This natural disaster is going to have a big impact on the tourist business in Acapulco this year. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 14 to 16.
Questions 17 to 20 are based on a live news program. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 17 to 20. We interrupt the regular scheduled news program to bring you live up-to-date coverage on the civil unrest in the newly formed country of Karnak, where our man Stan Fielding stationed. Stan?
This is Stan Fielding reporting live from the outskirts of the capital city. Just 20 minutes ago, rebel forces launched the biggest offensive against the ruling government in the 18-month conflict here in this country.
Now, Stan, is this a sign that the peace process has been totally abandoned?
Well, so far, peace negotiations have failed, and any resolution to quell the civil war appears bleak at this point. As you can see. Whoa!
Stan, are you there?
Yes, Barbara. As you can probably hear behind me, rebel forces are also using heavy artillery to pound government strongholds around the city center. Rebel forces are closing in, and it's feared that they will be able to take the Capitol building before sunup, where it is believed many government officials are holding out.
Now, besides the heavy fighting, what other pressing concerns are there for the citizens of the city?
Well, since the beginning of the conflict, starvation, clean water, and adequate shelter have been the biggest daily obstacles facing the citizens of this torn country. It is believed that over 40,000 people, mostly children, have starved to death. Landmines have claimed countless other lives. Fortunately, no epidemics have broken out, but that is always a concern if this war lingers on.
Okay, that was Stan Fielding reporting, and we will keep you up to date as the story continues to unfold. You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 17 to 20. That is the end of part C. You now have 5 minutes to transfer all your answers from your test booklet to answer sheet 1.
Test 3. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. Directions. This section is designed to test your ability to understand spoken English. You will hear a selection of recorded materials, and you must answer the questions that accompany them. There are 3 parts in this section, Part A, Part B, and Part C. Remember, while you are doing the test, you should first put down your answers in your test booklet. At the end of the listening comprehension section, you will have 5 minutes to transfer all your answers from your test booklet to answer sheet 1. Now look at Part A in your test booklet. Part A. Directions. For questions 1 through 5, you will hear a customer complaining about a product she's recently bought. While you listen, fill out the table with the information you have heard. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below. Good afternoon, customer service.
Good afternoon. May I speak to the manager, please?
Speaking. How may I help you?
I bought one of your Walkmans recently, but it stopped working.
I see. Could you be more specific? You say it's a Walkman. Can you give me the make and model?
Yes, it's a Philips, model number CN004.
Mm-hmm. And when did you buy it?
Last Monday.
Okay, and where did you buy it?
from your main department store in Bedford Road.
Bedford Road Department Store. Okay, and how much did you pay for it?
Originally, it was $45, but I bought it in a sale for $32.
And you tell me what the problem is?
Well, I don't know, really. It just suddenly stopped working. I tried changing the batteries, but it did no good at all.
I see. Are you sure the tape hasn't broken?
Of course I'm sure. That's the first thing I checked.
And why did you buy it? Was it for personal use, a gift, or for work purposes?
Neither. I'm studying French, and I use it to practice my listening skills.
Did you contact the store where you bought it?
Yes, I did, in fact. But the manager said that because I was using it for commercial use, you couldn't change it.
I see. And what was the manager's name?
His name was Smith, Jeff Smith.
And when did you contact Mr. Smith?
Well, it stopped working last Monday, and I called the store the day after.
I tell you what I'll do. It seems fairly straightforward to me, so I'll contact Mr. Smith myself and tell him to replace your Walkman. So just call into the store any time after today, and they will replace it for you.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye.
Bye.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 through 5. Now you will hear the recording again.
Good afternoon, customer service.
Good afternoon. May I speak to the manager, please?
Speaking. How may I help you?
I bought one of your Walkmans recently, but it stopped working.
I see. Could you be more specific? You say it's a Walkman. Can you give me the make and model?
Yes, it's a Philips, model number CN004.
And when did you buy it?
Last Monday.
Okay, and where did you buy it?
From your main department store in Bedford Road.
Bedford Road Department Store. Okay, and how much did you pay for it?
Originally, it was $45, but I bought it in a sale for $32.
And you tell me what the problem is?
Well, I don't know, really. It just suddenly stopped working. I tried changing the batteries, but it did no good at all.
I see. Are you sure the tape hasn't broken?
Of course I'm sure. That's the first thing I checked.
And why did you buy it? Was it for personal use, a gift, or for work purposes?
Neither. I'm studying French, and I use it to practice my listening skills.
Did you contact the store where you bought it?
Yes, I did, in fact. But the manager said that because I was using it for commercial use, you couldn't change it.
I see. And what was the manager's name?
His name was Smith, Jeff Smith.
And when did you contact Mr. Smith?
Well, it stopped working last Monday, and I called the store the day after.
I tell you what I'll do. It seems fairly straightforward to me, so I'll contact Mr. Smith myself and tell him to replace your Walkman. So just call into the store any time after today, and they will replace it for you.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye.
Bye.
You now have 20 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 through 5. That is the end of Part A.
Part B. Directions. For questions 6 to 10, you will hear a man who is interviewing an ex-student of the college. While you listen, complete the sentences or answer the questions. Use not more than 3 words for each answer. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 25 seconds to read the sentences and the questions below. Today, I have with me Ramona Sanchez, who was a student here 2 years ago. Tell the class what course you took here at the college.
Yes, I originally wanted to work in advertising, but I found it was too hard because of my English. And so I changed my direction and, well, I'm glad I did because I now got an associate diploma in dental hygiene, and that's how I managed to get a job with the council.
What exactly do you do with the council?
I work with the dentist, making sure that the patients are taken care of and all the necessary tools have been cleaned and prepared for use. Sometimes I must assist the dentist in complicated procedures. It's a demanding job, but I like it.
You perform dental surgery?
Not quite, but I do use tools to make the patient feel more comfortable during the operation. A lot of my time is spent in general checkups, cleaning teeth, and demonstrating good dental practice. I also develop x-rays.
Let's talk more about your course at the college. Do you remember any study projects that you were involved in?
Well, once we did a survey on the effects of different breakfast cereals on children's teeth. The ages ranged from 5 to 12 years old, and we interviewed over 100 different kids from each age group. It was quite a big project. We discovered that many cereals that were advertised as being healthy were just as bad for the teeth as the well-known sugar-coated brands.
Why was that?
It's complicated, but one of the main reasons was that many of the so-called healthy brands use just as much sugar as non-healthy breakfast cereals. However, there are a few brands, such as Cheerios, that contain many nutrients that help teeth grow and do not cause decay that leads to cavities and other bad dental hygiene. The problem is that many children become addicted to sweet, sugary cereal very young and do not want to change. Some children even add more sugar to very healthy cereals, such as cornflakes, which completely destroys the benefits of the cereal for children's teeth.
One last question. What about your future? Do you have any immediate plans?
Well, in the short term, I'll continue to work as a dental assistant and gain more experience. After 2 years, I plan to attend dental school to become a dentist. My long-term goal is to open my own dental practice here in Britain, or maybe return to my own country and open a practice there. You now have 50 seconds to check your answers to questions 6 to 10. Now you will hear the recording again.
Today, I have with me Ramona Sanchez, who was a student here 2 years ago. Tell the class what course you took here at the college.
Yes, I originally wanted to work in advertising, but I found it was too hard because of my English. And so I changed my direction and, well, I'm glad I did because I now got an associate diploma in dental hygiene, and that's how I managed to get a job with the council.
What exactly do you do with the council?
I work with the dentist, making sure that the patients are taken care of and all the necessary tools have been cleaned and prepared for use. Sometimes I must assist the dentist in complicated procedures. It's a demanding job, but I like it.
You perform dental surgery?
Not quite, but I do use tools to make the patient feel more comfortable during the operation. A lot of my time is spent in general checkups, cleaning teeth, and demonstrating good dental practice. I also develop x-rays.
Let's talk more about your course at the college. Do you remember any study projects that you were involved in?
Well, once we did a survey on the effects of different breakfast cereals on children's teeth. The ages ranged from 5 to 12 years old, and we interviewed over 100 different kids from each age group. It was quite a big project. We discovered that many cereals that were advertised as being healthy were just as bad for the teeth as the well-known sugar-coated brands.
Why was that?
It's complicated, but one of the main reasons was that many of the so-called healthy brands use just as much sugar as non-healthy breakfast cereals. However, there are a few brands, such as Cheerios, that contain many nutrients that help teeth grow and do not cause decay that leads to cavities and other bad dental hygiene. The problem is that many children become addicted to sweet, sugary cereal very young and do not want to change. Some children even add more sugar to very healthy cereals, such as cornflakes, which completely destroys the benefits of the cereal for children's teeth.
One last question. What about your future? Do you have any immediate plans?
Well, in the short term, I'll continue to work as a dental assistant and gain more experience. After 2 years, I plan to attend dental school to become a dentist. My long-term goal is to open my own dental practice here in Britain, or maybe return to my own country and open a practice there. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 6 to 10. That is the end of part B.
听力课堂，欢迎你！
听力课堂，欢迎你！听啊，点儿看。